Here's Matt Kibbe, who's joining us to talk about the GM bailout. Government Motors, was this a success or a failure? Matt's president and CEO of FreedomWorks, and he's written a piece for Fox News, to which we've linked for your reading pleasure, the truth about the GM bailout. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I guess that your take is it's not a very big success.
No, it's an utter failure, and you can see this new assault by the Obama administration trying to convince the American people that despite 9%+ unemployment, despite what looks like a second dip into recession, that all of these policies of spend and bailout and deficits are working. And the fact is they're not, and GM is the poster child for why government bailouts don't work. If you just look at the numbers, I mean, we'll get to government responsibility here, but if you just look at the numbers, most of the taxpayers' money was spent buying a majority stake in the company.
Mm-hmm.
We now own GM stock. We bought at 55. The current value is 28, which means that we are about $11 billion in the hole still, and this is a company that has no ability to pay us back.
Well, if that's a success, I wonder what a failure would look like.
Yeah, I wonder what the measure is. Yeah.
But the numbers in your piece are very, very interesting. But you're right that there isn't any justification for the government doing this in the first place. There wasn't, there isn't, and there shouldn't be.
I do think that politics explains why the Obama administration sticks so much of their economic policy on bailing out GM. It was a request to the unions in Detroit, and that's what they did. But if you think about it in economic terms, partnerships between the federal government and private business never work. They never respond to consumer demand. They never worry about the bottom line. And GM is more unable to meet the test of the market with the government at the helm, with the President of the United States being the de facto CEO of the company. They're more worried about advocating things like dollar increases in the gas tax and producing cars like the Chevy Volt that nobody wants.
Well, at least it's nicely overpriced.
It is nicely overpriced, and it has a wonderful government tax credit that is designed to encourage you to buy it even though you don't want it.
Yeah, it's heavily subsidized, unwanted. It's a Soviet kind of thing. It's more sophisticated than what the Soviets would do. But, oh, hell, if you go to 1984, it's how they were producing so much wonderful steel. And Winston Smith was shaving with an old, rusty, nicked blade. So the steel production was good, except it didn't get to the consumer. And,
well, I think they have a five-year plan
for
profitability on the Volts, no doubt.
I'm sure they do. But you also make an interesting point that that they don't get the best executives because of government ownership. It distorts the whole business model. If the government, you say, should get out of the car business, amen.
Yeah.
But they're claiming a great victory. So what do we do? I guess just expose it as best you can, huh?
Well, the fact of the matter is that GM will never succeed because they can't attract competent managers and entrepreneurs. All they can attract is a bureaucrat that's willing to put up with the endless micromanagement straight from the White House. You're not going to be able to make the tough decisions that GM needs to make that way. But there is this stigma on government motors. People don't want to buy a car that's the product of a bailout, and Ford has made great hay of this. And the fact of the matter is there are a lot of cars, American-built cars, produced in the United States. And people are going to go where they're going to get that value. They're going to buy from a company that they think is more interested in producing what they want to buy instead of what some bureaucrat in Washington tells them they need to produce.
We're talking with Matt Kibbe about Government Motors, the government bailout of General Motors. Although, in fairness, General Motors is making better product now. Some of its product is outstanding from what I read in the automotive magazines. But the problem is the second part of your equation, which is that people are suspicious about the long-term viability of a Government Motors. I think that's more the product they're turning out is not bad. You know, set the Volt aside, but you can't get over the stigma that you're talking about.
But also, there is a values question here, and I think if you travel across America, and certainly if you talk to Tea Partiers, but I see billboards all over America from local banks that didn't take TARP money,
mm-hmm.
and they say TARP free.
Really?
And I think that the fundamental problem with GM is not just the question of whether or not the cars are any good, but people in America don't like bailouts. This isn't a Republican thing. This is where the very center of the American opinion is today. And so until GM shakes that stigma, I think they have a bigger problem than, I mean, all the problems we've already talked about. There's a lot of roadblocks. And by the way, one more is still dealing with the union legacy costs that have undermined competitiveness in all of the Detroit car companies.
Well, this column is called The Truth About the GM Bailout, and I look forward, Matt Kibbe, to your one, The Truth About the Wall Street Bailout. That'll really be juicy. You'll need more pages.
Yes.
More words. More space. Anyway, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.